Hello, West Liberty. You are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio and we are passionately vocal. I'm Christiane, and today I will be conducting an interview that is a part of a four-part personality passionately vocal series. I'm so sorry. This interview will be about meeting a person in my class, Joe Farmer, who is a media communications major. In the first half of this interview, we will be discussing his academic life along with his goals and aspirations for his future. We will then go into a short break, and then after that, we'll begin to the more personal stuff. So before we begin really talking into the interview, how was your day today?
My day has been great so far, Christiane. Thank you for asking. I'm just excited because the weather is starting to get colder, and I'm a big fan of the cold weather and Christmas. I love Christmas, and Christmas is coming soon. I don't care that it's still October, for that matter. I love Christmas more than Halloween, so, you know, take that.
I think Halloween and Christmas are like the two best holidays, so they're like crammed into the same.
Halloween is my least favorite, I'm going to be honest. Yeah, I know, and a lot of people are going to be offended by that, and I do not care.
Speak your truth.
Yeah.
I like Halloween just because of like scary movies and stuff.
Yeah.
But you are a media communications major.
That is true.
So how has that been for you so far?
I like it so far. I think one of the big problems that I had whenever I first started pondering college was the idea of what I wanted to do, because I am I'm a kind of a jack of all trades, master of none type of individual. And so there's a lot of things that I'm good at, but there's nothing in particular that I'm exemplary at. And so whenever I was looking through like what I could take here at West Liberty, I kind of broke it down into three main options. It was mainly going to be either something that included with music. I was a choir kid for many years. I was a young patriot at Wheeling Park High School. I also considered taking going into a theology based thing, not so much to become a preacher, but more just seeing where that would take me. I've been a Christian my entire life. It's a very big part of who I am. So I considered taking that. And I've always been a fan of history. So theology kind of ties into that. And then obviously something that had to do with broadcasting. I took broadcasting all through high school. And I've just always been a fan of with cameras and audio work and just editing and that kind of stuff. All the technical stuff that has to do with content creation, quote unquote. Or media creation is always been a real interest of mine. And I kind of just took all three of these and I was like, which is going to, not so much, I did want to pick the thing that I was going to enjoy the most, but I also wanted to make sure that I had something that was future-proofed, you know, so that if I did go into the workforce after college, you know, what would be the most safe to go into. And so I just decided that media communications or broadcasting was going to be the most safe bet. And turns out it's been the pick that I knew I would have gone with the entire time. It's just been a blast. I really like that West Liberty offers the media communications course just because of the fact that I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I still don't really know what I want to do outside of college. But the nice thing about media communications is that it's kind of like an umbrella degree, because it encompasses so many portions of media and fine arts. So I've got a lot of digital media design classes, I've got a lot of broadcasting classes, I've got a lot of journalism classes, all kinds of things that kind of have to go with like broadcasting and media is kind of what I like to deal with. So far I'm really enjoying it. I have no intentions on switching at all. So
since you're doing so many different stuff, and you did mention that you like doing all of it, and mm-hmm. Is there any like very specific one that you just like more than the rest?
I'm a really big, like I said, I'm a huge technical guy. I love being hands-on. So I really, really love So far, the TV classes have been a ton of fun. You know, I get to be hands-on with computers, and I get to be in the server room, and I get to, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that I really have a lot of fun with, using the switcher board. You know, it's super fun, and shout out to Professor Lee. He does a really good job of allowing us to get really hands-on with that kind of stuff. I would love to be able to do more, and I will have to take field production at some point, and that's where I'll start to, you know, be able to go out with a camera and start doing stuff. And that's been a ton of fun so far. Even if the cameras are like 20 plus years old, it is still a blast to do that. So,
out of the classes you've had so far, which one was your favorite?
So, here's the thing. I could tell you my favorite, or I could give you a broad range of my favorites, because I feel like if I give a favorite, some teachers will be mad at me and hunt me down. Not actually, but Professor Thompson's photo one has been a ton of fun so far. He's a great teacher, super knowledgeable, and is a really forgiving person. So if we ever have questions or have anything that we need to come to with him, he's super understanding, and it's just been a really fun class. I've been doing photography for a few years now, so it was kind of more just like a thing to just check off the list. But I actually have learned some things, even though I am self-taught, so it's been a ton of fun. But also, I was a really big fan of my first real media class, which was COM 201 with Professor Feaster. That was a ton of fun, just because it was kind of the first, it was my first college class. You know, it was the first class that I walked into first day as a freshman. And so I guess it kind of is just, I couldn't tell you a single project that we did in that class that I could remember. However, it's more of just the aspect of, it's kind of sentimental to me because it was like my first class, and it's where I got to meet, you know, Professor Feaster, who's obviously a great teacher. And so it was just really fun, that class as well. And then, documentary film with Professor Chris Lee. Great class. I hated it sometimes, I'll be honest, just because of the fact that it's a very you have to be strong-willed to take that class, because it is a recognition of, you know, the styles and artistic measures of documentaries. And so there's a lot, you'll watch some difficult things in that class, but I think overall the taking that class was a ton of fun, and it was like really late at night, so it was I really enjoyed it. It was one day a week, really late at night. I really liked that class.
Do you remember what time it was at night?
I think it started at 6. I think it went from 6 to 9.
Oh my god.
And then sometimes we would watch like two documentaries or just one really long documentary. I don't think we ever made it to 9 o'clock, but I really enjoyed that class. It was a ton of fun. I had it with a lot of people that I really enjoyed being around, so that really helped out as well. And it was one of the first classes that Professor Lee had after his return from being ill, so it was really nice. I really liked that class.
Excellent. So we are going to go on a short little break, and then when we get back, we'll talk more about your own personal hobbies.
Sounds good.
Picture this. You're driving to campus, and you don't have much time left to get to your class. The speed limit is 15, but you have an exam in class today, so you speed up just a little bit. Then you hear a sound even worse than being late to class. Now you are even more late to class than you would have been if you just followed the speed limit. And a ticket in the state of West Virginia can be $75 to $300. Speeding doesn't save you time, but it can cost you a lot. A ticket, your license, or even worse, someone's safety. Luckily, the solution to this is very simple. Just don't speed. By not speeding, you're keeping those around you safe, and you avoid legal trouble. Just think about the story from the beginning. If you just followed the speed limit from the beginning, you would have arrived at your class just a little bit late instead of missing the whole class, and you wouldn't have a ticket. This message has been brought to you by WGLZ Radio. Your sound, your station, your safety. We are back from the break for a second part of our first interview in our Pashley Vocal Series. Now we will be diving deeper into Joe's personal life and hobbies.
Yes, sir.
I know that you like working on cars and you have a very special car to you.
Yes, I'm a big car guy. I have a currently I have two vehicles. I have a truck. She's special in my eyes, but she's more of just a vehicle for the winter time, because my main hog is she is a 2001 BMW 530i. Her name is Diana. I call her Diana because Princess Diana drove one. She had a 540i, which had the larger V8 engine, which is objectively cooler. But you know, I can't afford a 540i, so we stuck with the 6 liter. Six cylinder. It's a ton of fun. I freaking love that car. It's rear wheel drive. It is automatic, but it is peppy. Super duper responsive. The guy that owned it before me redid the entire suspension, all the bushings, control arms, all that stuff. So it handles like an absolute dream. I wish I would take her for more drives, just for recreational than, just, you know, driving to and from work and school. But I will say, the nice thing, I take McGraw's Run in order to get up to campus, 'cause I live up at the Highlands. And so, taking those roads were nice and curvy. It's just a blast. And summertime, you know, whenever it's beginning of the fall semester, I'll roll my windows down and I'll blast my music loud. And it's just a ton of fun. I love that freaking car. She's super classy. Super classy car. Early 2000s, old money style. She's a stunner. I love that car so much. I will never get rid of it. Even she has like 240,000 miles on it. She has a ton of miles, which is rare for a BMW. You typically see them, you know, broken down, but she's a champ. She keeps pulling through. And I will eventually put a V8 into it. Whether or not it is American or European engine, she'll get restored someday.
How did you end up getting her?
So I knew an individual at my church. He was actually one of the elders at my old church. Great guy. He had this car, and I would see it often on Sundays, and on Tuesdays. Sundays obviously for church, but Tuesdays for the men's Bible study. I would see it there. And he just took such immaculate care of the car. And I ended up asking him if he would want to sell it. And he told me no. He loved the car a lot and he didn't feel like, you know, giving it up. And then his son ended up getting in a little bit of an accident. It wasn't his fault, with the vehicle. And so there ended up being an entire length, a scratch, the entire length of the car. A few weeks after that happened, I was talking to him in church, and he finally told me that he'd be willing to sell it. I would be a liar if I said I didn't get a killer deal on that car. I paid $1,000 for that vehicle, which even though it has 240,000 miles on it, it was kept immaculately. She's an absolutely beautiful car. Has the original factory opted BMW BBS style 42 wheels, which you could only get as an option for that vehicle. It has a specialty paint. It's not the standard black. It is the flake option. So it's got a little bit of a glimmer to it. And it also has the M Sport wheel, which you could only option in from the factory as well. So it's a really, really cool, really interesting, potentially rare car. Now, I'm not going to be like a Corvette owner and list out all these specific things and like it's a one of 750. No, there's probably thousands and thousands of this car made. But in my eyes, she is a one of one. So I love her so much. She's great.
Did you always want one, or was it after it was like the idea was presented to you when he showed you it?
No. So I never anticipated buying a 5 Series just because it's a really in some people's eyes, it's a little bit of a weird like middle ground, because in those days of BMW, you had the 3 Series cars, which were more sport oriented. They were lighter, had lighter and smaller, lighter engines, a little bit more track focused. Then you had the 7 Series, which was you know, ultimate opulence, long, huge wheelbase, real heavy, smooth engines, super, super, super nice interiors, beautiful suspensions, you know, just to make, they were millionaire cars. And then you had the 5 Series, which was kind of like the dirty in between, because it had the engines of these 3 Series super peppy lightweight cars, but then you also had a lot of the opulence that you had with the 7 Series. So it ended up being this kind of like business man's car, something that you would drive, you know, to Wall Street to go and do your day trading and then come home to your studio apartment in New York in the early 2000s. But what BMW didn't anticipate was the fact that it was going to be an absolute track weapon. I love it so much. I can't get over how much I love this car. It handles so... It ended up handling so well with the combination of it being a little bit of a heavier chassis with a lighter weight engine, because you could get... The engine that I have in it could be opted in on a 3 Series, the 3-liter six-cylinder. Which is the M54, obviously, or arguably one of the more reliable options for a BMW engine. And so I never had really anticipated getting something that was like a business car. You know, as a younger individual, I kind of wanted something that was quick. I wanted something fast. I wanted a 3 Series. I really did. I wanted like an E46 platform 3 Series, probably a coupe. I would have liked a manual. But, you know, it was one of those instances, not only of just it was a great opportunity, but I think God works in mysterious ways in those instances, because my car ended up blowing up, and it was really miraculous how it happened, just because I was really in a rough spot financially. And so I was offered the car. A car that I've wanted for a while at that point in time, and it was, you know, I couldn't really pass up on it. You know, $1,000 for this car that's been so meticulously taken care of. So no, honestly, I didn't want it to start off with, but, you know, it's his plan, not mine, so.
How did you first get into motor vehicles?
So, my dad has always been a big motorhead. In high school, he had a 1969 Mustang. It was a California special, which don't let that get you confused. That only means that it had AC. That was the only difference than your standard Mustang, was that it had AC. There's a few other design choices, but for the main thing, it was that it had air conditioning. But my dad was always, we were always working on vehicles. I was always surrounding with them. It's just been a big portion of my growing up. My dad always used to bring us to monster truck rallies, and we would see these monster trucks. And so I kind of had this vision in my head that I was going to be a car guy, because it was one of those, you know, like father, like son type of deals. So I ended up getting really involved with vehicles. My dad would let me come out and help him out with whatever he had working on, which chances are good, if he was working on a vehicle, it was that stupid 6-liter that he owned, the Ford F-350. I loved that truck, but it was a pain. It was kind of like a hereditary thing. You know, it was, I grew up on a farm. You know, I grew up in a family where it was mainly blue collar. So it was kind of like, that's kind of a portion of what you do as someone who grows up redneck. So it's just kind of like a set of standards. You know, you're into vehicles if you're into that type of thing. And so it just kind of like fell into place as something that I ended up loving.
That's so cool. That reminds me so much of my brother. He's like you, except he's into big trucks.
Yep, boys. That's what we like. It's just, we love, you know, loud vehicles and stuff that can crush stuff. So it's just in our blood.
Perfect. Well, that is all the time that we have for today. And this is the end of the Meet the Person in My Class interview, the first in the Passionately Vocal series. I will now let you guys get back to the music here on WGLZ 91.5 FM.